Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, wellness, and life. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, and UK Health Radio. Wow, the mental game, you behavior, questioning doctors. You got a great doubleheader. Susan Ivitz, she's a neuroscientist and a high-performance behavior specialist. She'll be joining me along with Beth Kvecci, PhD. She's a psychologist and a host of two podcasts, Never Perfect Doctor, which is a mental health podcast, and Never Perfect Faith, Christian podcast. Then the Sports Doctor's in, some upcoming guests, other topics. Susan, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Hi, Doc. How you doing?
Good. The world of human performance, Susan. The world of the mental game. I'm a sports podiatrist. You know, we're talking about foot function. But the mental game is a big deal on the Sports Doctor, which is why we have specialists like yourself in and out of sport talking about how important it is. Give us some background, Susan, on you, the neuroscience world and the behavior science.
Well, I come in from an unexpected background from all your guests. I was a political influence consulting for 18 years. I retired because
good
I was burned.
Yes. Good luck to you.
So I got burned out, but I missed the adrenaline. So guess what? I ended up being a civilian hostage negotiator. I ended up being a study with the Israeli military profiling and interrogation, and I found out it's lovely, but it's no money. And my taste get kind of expensive when I was working in politics. So I went back to study, and I did my master in behavior economics, and now I'm doing one in neuroscience and neuromarketing. And what I do is I specialize in irrational humans. Guess what? I have 6 cats, more than 1,000 pair of shoes, and I only have 2 feet, so I'm perfect for this show.
Exactly. Well, again, I always have told athletes and their families, half facetiously in the past, that if you want to see a great athlete, either observe or own a cat, you know, where they could jump 10 feet in the air, land on one paw, and then be in perfect balance, you know, besides the mental side of it. Now, again, whether we are talking about teammates on a team, whether we're talking, again, about business, whether we're talking, again, about high, big-time professional sports, the pressure, the money, and the ability to pay big attention to relationships and the whole world of neuroscience. Give us a definition of the neuroscience, Susan.
Well, let me tell you something about sport and hardware. And sometimes it's not that I want to deviate from the show, but sometimes when you put examples on other things. Hardware is the best school because it's the best school or because it recruits the best people. And that, it gives them a lot of pedigree. Are the Chicago Bulls the best team since we're both in Chicago, or the Chicago Bulls recruit the best team? And when you have the best team, what you need to have is a great coach. So let's put neuroscience in a sport. Everybody needs a coach. Everybody needs someone in what you do. I'm really good at my job, and the only thing in my life I'm cocky is with my job. But guess what? I need an accountant. I need a dentist. I need a sport podiatrist. Because guess what? With so many shoes, I need to take care of my feet, because people don't understand when your feet are messing with your life, your brain is not working because the pain is shooting all the time. So regarding neuroscience put it on the sport context is incentive, leadership, and coaching. That would make success. I coach people. Guess what? I do have a coach too, because everybody needs help in something in their life. And when you apply that with neuroscience, now you can understand that people have biases.
You know, it's interesting, Susan. It's interesting. This whole field has exploded. The personal coaching, both online and offline and whatever, and the idea, again, of podcasting, which didn't exist. You know, I've been on live radio 40-something years, give or take a few weeks. The word podcast didn't exist. And neither did functional medicine or this world of, the idea of the tremendous challenges in sports and out of the mental side of whether, again, it's the high-performance business individual. So the coaching world has really exploded in so many ways. How do you find the coaching world coexisting with the medical side, the psychiatry, the psychology, and some of the other entities in the world of, let's say, life or business coaching?
Well, what I do more, it's funny because even though my primary business is on the business world, I always says the difference between putting a candidate on the White House, the one who's there, is not my problem, what he does, so don't blame me, don't shoot the messenger. In a brand, a person, or a product is the same. So I've been called in the sport world to help to identify the alphas, to help them to work with the rest of the team. And I do a lot of scouting to determine, because some of the teams are looking for, okay, who is a natural leader? And not only you need to be a natural leader, you need to have emotional skills to get the team together, because the coach yells from outside, but the leader of the team put the team together with the moral. When somebody
misses a hit, then we throw the family in. But you have the mom or dad, or you have the other individual. By the way, just quickly, what is a good website for people to find out about you and your work?
Well, you can go Susan Ivitz, for good or bad. I'm the only person with that name, SusanIvitz.com. And then it's going to send you from the school, the online classes, and the consulting. And I'm really present on the media. I have an amazing team.
So the ability of communication, so many youth sports experts, that's why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. The next book's going to say hashtag Hey Sports Grandparents.
Good luck with that, Doc.
Yes. Well, the challenge of communication about with everything you're talking about, the idea of the fact that many of these skills are really teachable, the fact that, 20 years ago, sports thought this mental game was voodoo.
Well, Doctor, let me tell you something. Everybody know Michael Jordan, and when the movie aired, when I saw the movie and I understand the background, I wish more sport kids would have a mom like Michael Jordan had, and he still has. Because that woman didn't utilize their own ego to push her son. She pushed her son and make sure she make history. Everything was writing again after that mother from a modest background fought for her son like it never saw fighting anybody else. Because I have seen parents, my son is the best because it's about me. And they force kids to do things they don't want to do.
I'll tell you a fast story. The young boy who grew up here in Illinois, Evan Lysacek, I put orthotics in his skates, which is one of my real specialties, when he was 10 years old. 12 years later, he was the Olympic gold medalist. 2010 gold medalist figure skating. I had his mom on after he won. I said the exact question you were talking about, Susan, to his mom, Tanya. How did you know it wasn't your goal? You weren't pushing him too far, whatever. She said, Dr. Weil, we had ice time at 6:15 in the morning, and I never had to wake the kid up. There he was in the car with his gloves on. So that was a great reason, because that topic comes up a lot. And the more talented your son or daughter is, the more we find it challenging many times, both physically and mentally, for the kids in so many ways. And good health is all about what you're talking about also, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I'm talking about emotional support. And I found out that people that is extremely successful, as high as the success, the lower is the IQ. And we tend to label and marketing certain words, and emotional skills and soft skills is the skills to listen what other people need. People need to be seen, hear, and understood. So you need to hear, seen, and understood your kids and yourself. Not everybody going to be Michael Jordan, okay? Let's face it. You can be the secondary who passed the ball to Michael Jordan to do the hit. So the point is, without the people around Michael Jordan, he cannot hit. So that is a team playing. And sometimes it's difficult in a team to make them understand that, okay, you're more important than Michael, because Michael can put the ball on the net. But without you passing the ball, he cannot do it. That is called team playing. So that's the reason you need to have a really good leader on the team, and you need to have a really good coach that say with the people, and yelling and screaming is not to be a good coach. It's understand when you need to use empathy, communication, and be careful how much you push.
Yes.
There's so much money and there's so much money in professional sport that people forget the pressure. Kids go from nobody to extremely exposure, and they don't know how many sport people that make millions and millions of dollars ended up in drugs and gangs, and look what happened to OJ. They don't have the background, neither the support, to be exposed to the fame, to the money, and the pressure.
That's why I include people like you. That's why I have included subjects like yours forever, which is all of these different challenges in many instances, whether they were social workers, whether they were psychologists. 2 months ago from the Netherlands, I had an expert, a Taoist master, talking about 2,500-year-old lifestyle rules like patience and like simplicity that was as important today as they were 3,000 years ago. So, again, it's become a very big deal. When you mention something like, Susan, human behavior hacker, and to diffuse conflict influence ethically, what is some human behavior hacker where you're looking to really diffuse any kind of conflict?
Actually, I did a video and LinkedIn about that. It's never about the trash. Let me tell you, how many years you have been married, doctor?
I'm not married.
You're not married. Okay, let's suppose that you've been married for 40 years. You have relationships.
Yes, I had 25 years, absolutely. Great years.
What? So when your partners complain about the trash, it's never about the trash. It's about not being seen. It's not to follow up with the promises. So it's never about the argument that the person is telling.
Well, that's why the mental game is such a big deal. I had the late, great Jim Vickery, who was a sports psychologist, shared my radio show in the 90s. And we used to drag, he was involved with the White Sox, he was involved with the Olympians, he also was involved with the parenting. And he said, when he was talking about parents of these kids, he'd say, number one, don't be a critic. Don't be analyzing your kid on the way home in the car. He said, number two, be a good listener. And this is what we told you, mentioned it again, be a good listener, communicate with your kids. Are they having a good time with what they're doing? Are they hurting?
Sometimes, you know what, doctor? Sometimes kids are bullied for being the best. And I'm going to give you my example. I'm dyslexic and Asperger, and I have a higher IQ. I was bullied all my life because I always have the highest score in a school. And if I start getting bullied and says, oh, she's coming the nerd. Like, yeah, she eats the books. And like, what the heck? But guess what? In high school, I become the most popular girl because I pass all the tests, and all the popular kids that were great in sports come to me and say, Susan, we need help. Like, yeah, no problem. You make me popular, I make you intelligent. Let's negotiate.
Ha! What a trade-off. It's interesting because I've had the topic of bullying has been a big deal on the Sports Doctor forever. I've spent 35 years talking about childhood obesity, and obesity is the number one reason for bullying. Number two is sexual orientation and disabilities. So it's a real problem many times with you know, though exactly with what you're talking about. It's a very big topic with the adolescents today. And of course, when you talk about social media, Susan, and how and after the pandemic, how it seemed to triple the pressure on all of us, is why it's so important to pay attention to the principles that you've been talking about for how long?
I started when I was 17 and 54, so I have a couple of badges behind me. But one of the things that I see in the media and says, if you need to show me your boobs, I cannot see your brain. If you need to show me sitting in a Ferrari, you definitely overcompensate in something. But it's really difficult for the youngest one not understand all the sacrifice. And it's happened to me in another point. It says, oh, you're so lucky. Lucky? You want me to tell you how many hours, how many degrees, and how much I need to fight, and I still need to fight to keep afloat? People don't see the effort. So I think that involving the parents and the circle and what is the chosen family.
Oh, my gosh.
Family the great, give you.
Yes. The great Earl Nightingale, who said, luck is when opportunity meets preparedness. I knew the time would fly by with Susan and I, but Susan, give us how people find out about you and your work again, please, quickly.
Yeah, SusanIwitz.com, or Google my name. You're going to find out. My team is amazing. They publish like 8 times a day. I hate to see myself, but guess what? We get niche tips and advice for free all
Susan
the time because I see knowledge.
IBITZ.com. Susan, hold
yes,
on.
Sir.
We'll be right back, everybody. Hold on, Susan. It's the Sports Doctor.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, we're back live from Chicago, the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. Beth Capecci, PhD. She's a psychologist and she's the host of 2 different podcasts. Never Perfect Doctor. I was on that one with her. Mental Health Podcast, the Sports Doctor showed up. And Near Perfect Faith, a Canadian podcast. So, Beth, welcome back, switching shows.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Give us some background, Beth, on yourself as a psychologist, a sports mom, an ex-athlete yourself, and the different mental challenges from A to Z. We talk so much about the mental game on the Sports Doctor. That's why we include psychology all the time, in various areas. Give us some background on you.
Okay, great. So I have been a psychologist for more than 25 years, and my background with private practice is very long. My podcast called Never Perfect Dr. Beth started 5 years ago. It will be five in March. And really, it's just an attempt to offer free mental health and helping people get more comfortable with who they are, comfortable in their own skin, to be able to acknowledge their strengths and their weakness and, you know, their uniqueness as a person, and just really to value the package deal of strengths and weaknesses that they have. So I really wanted to just help give people some hope and sharing their story and not being self-critical or perfectionistic. And of course, all of this really relates to mental health and sports. And so the way you view yourself and your life really determines so much of just your emotions and your relationships and really everything. So, and then about 2 years ago, I started a faith podcast called Never Perfect Faith. And that one takes a back seat. I don't put as much time in that one. I'd like to spend more. And I'm happy to tell you more about all that. I also have three teenagers. They're 19, 18, and 16. And I'm married to a man from Scotland. I think this is broadcast in England, so I thought that might be kind of intriguing.
Absolutely. I've had various guests in the world of concussions, in the world of hyperbaric oxygen. I think also sports hypnosis in Scotland and Australia and some of the... We always got to pay attention to time zones on the sports doctor. So, you know, it's interesting. As a parent who specializes in the mental side of things, many times we see that the challenges, especially in this day and age with social media, post-pandemic, and I always have found on the sports doctor, because youth sports is a big deal on the sports doctor, whether your kid's the best athlete in the world or you just want them to participate, the biggest challenge we're facing today with juvenile type 2 diabetes is we got to get these kids active and paying attention. Childhood obesity is such a problem. So when the challenges of sometimes holding back or following through as a sports parent, and that you were an athlete yourself, you know, that's why I had to ask you how your sports psychology skills were, Beth.
Well, you know, I do talk about sports psychology, and I have worked with athletes, you know, swimmers, tennis players. All three of my kids played travel soccer for many years. My 18-year-old just finished her season. They were in the top four of the state here in Tennessee, and she was the captain as a senior. And, you know, her travel coaches were like, you know, you could probably play D1, for sure D2. And, you know, this may relate to some of my favorite advice about sports, with parenting at least, is really making it about your child and saying, what do you think is healthy and best for you? Because deep down, my husband really wanted her to play in college. For me, I was really torn and just felt like, oh, this is such a job. It's so demanding.
Well, a lot of times we see exactly what you say. You know, I told the story with my first guest, which was the young boy who grew up here in Illinois. Evan Lysacek was 10 years old, figure skater. When I put orthotics in his skates, and 12 years later, he was the Olympic gold medalist. What a ride that was. I had his mom on the radio 2010 after he won.
Wow.
I asked her that exact question you're talking about. Whose goal was it? You know, who pushed who and whatever. She said, you know, Dr. Weil, I never had to wake the kid up. We had ice time at 6:15 in the morning. There he was in the car with his gloves on. In other words, the question was, he had to drive in order to do whatever was necessary to be
done. That's right.
And again, but do you find that the school systems and the pediatric community and, you know, some of the medical community, it's interesting with all this attention now with biohacking, we didn't even know what the word was. It's functional medicine. It's paying attention to keep moving and eat well, et cetera, et cetera. And the mental component has always been, I guess it always will be, Beth, in the middle of all of it, right?
For sure. I mean, visualizing, you know, positive outcomes is something that we all need to think about with sports and just life in general.
And I frequently talk to my clients. I had an episode called Life Changing Habits about, you know, the basics. No one is going to feel their best unless they're really trying to be pretty good on these six habits. And I don't have to rattle them all off, but they do relate to nutrition and exercise, social support, sleep, having a sense of purpose and productivity, downtime and hobbies. I probably left one out.
You did. Good sense of humor. add to the mix. You can't go wrong with adding that to the mix. But again,
whether it's
somebody who is, you know, because 80 is the new 60 and 70 is the new 50. We do a lot of things with the senior population. I'm one of them. That's why I have to change the name from the book I co-authored, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, to include hashtag Hey Sports Grandparents.
Yeah, I love it.
In one regard. But again, whether you're talking about somebody who is trying to stay on their New Year's resolution exercise program, they're trying to die. I mean, you can't turn on TV for 5 minutes without either a prescription drug or a diet commercial. And obesity and childhood obesity is as big a problem. We were talking about bullying a little while ago, that obesity was the biggest reason with these kids that, you know, we're still with the diabetes scourge. Juvenile obesity is a big, big deal. And I'm hoping that the big attention to anti-aging, longevity medicine, all of these things will make a difference. What do you think?
I agree. And I may have told you this when you were on my podcast, but I really think that a lot of sugary drinks are a big key to what people don't realize. Their sugar and their blood sugar is spiking all the time. And it's really sad to me because people aren't trying to do that. They don't realize they're drinking desserts all day.
Well, that's,
and then
you
they
know,
think,
again, like you and like you and I talked about, we talked about what I call the new medicine. Very simple. Number one, eat smarter. And we could talk all day about what smarter means, but we all get it. Eat smarter.
Yeah.
Number two is keep moving. And there's a lot of choices.
Yeah.
You want to walk, you want to run, you want to do yoga, you want to go to the gym. Number three is you. Reduce stress is somehow learn how to pay attention to the rest and recovery and how important, you know, these things are. And that's what I'm really glad to see. There's been a lot of new attention to how important that is. Look at the problem with the kids, the ages of your children, when it comes to this whole life. It's nuts. Do you think we're making progress, adding as much education and awareness as we can with this?
I do, and I often tell
people I'm hoping everybody rolls their eyes, Beth, when I ask them. Are you rolling your
eyes? If they
eyes?
Think we're... No, you know, I feel like we're making progress, but I'm probably not, I don't have my finger on the pulse as well as you do.
Give me a website that people can find out about you and your podcast. What's the best place to find out about you and your stuff?
Neverperfect.org is the easiest way to do it.
Interesting title, Beth. You're right, that Never Perfect Doctor. Interesting.
Yeah.
Questioning. You know, paying attention to all of these kinds of things, I thought was a, that's why we had fun on your podcast. I had a whole idea with the healthcare system today and the chaos that's gone on involving from A to Z. I think people have to really learn as best they can and pay attention. And I guess that's something we've talked about for years also. You really could train the mental side of things. My figure skaters, Beth, were doing visualization 30 years ago, and sports thought they were nuts in some ways. And it was interesting how that came around, as well as the faith. I guess spirituality has become a very big topic in sports medicine. And did you have Tim Tebow on your faith podcast yet?
No, I'd love to, though.
I'm sure you would, yeah. You know, there's so much attention to that in mostly good ways. Because, again, we find that spirituality, no one's got a problem with it. When you start getting into organized religion, I always say good luck to us in that regard. What are the age groups that you pay big attention to in your practice, whether you're dealing with parents or coaches or whatever it happens to be? Where are you paying attention age-wise, Beth?
I typically work with kids 12 to 18. Really 12 and up. I also work with adults. So, is that what you meant? Just what ages do I specialize in?
Think about the sandwich generation also, where, again, you have so many, like my kids' age, they could be in their 50s, and so their parents are getting older, and their children are expensive, and they're getting involved in the middle of all of that, which is why on the fun side, the grandparents, there's so much great activity at younger and younger ages. On the other end, the whole idea, it's amazing how longevity or anti-aging medicine has become a very, very big deal. And I rightfully so, don't you agree?
Yeah, for sure. Staying as young and healthy as long as we can sounds amazing.
It definitely is a challenge. And this is when we take a look at reality, where, again, medicine had to change the name of adult onset diabetes a couple decades ago because of the explosion of children with diabetes. This is an adult lifestyle thing. So, again, the importance of getting Keep It Simple salesmen with the by the time kids get into junior high school, maybe one kid out of 20 is on a team. And now you got everybody looking at phones. So the challenge, again, of lifestyle medicine and not paying attention to symptoms. You know, we all grew up with, hey, listen, you want 12-hour relief? Watch this commercial. So these are the kinds of challenges where we find psychology becomes, such an important part of health and wellness.
Yeah, and I really like to take weight out of the equation because I feel like it's about health and how you feel. And I tell clients all the time, I just want you to be healthy. If you gain 2 pounds, that's fine. If you lose 20 pounds, that's fine as long as it's healthy. But the goal is really just to have your glucose levels under control and for your mental health to be really optimal. And so I think the whole idea of fat shaming and things like that can really backfire, where people almost rebel against nutrition advice because they feel like you're telling them they need to lose weight. But I think if we emphasize the health, it's such an important thing to say, this is for your mental health.
I have always found that with when obesity was a problem in the world of podiatry and foot problems, and over the years it certainly has been, I would always be talking about exactly what you just said, which is the whole health aspect, challenges of weight control compared to the word diet and those types of pressures many times that people might be under. And we would see postural problems very early with some of these kids who were just not doing anything activity-wise. And all of a sudden, we would run into some of these different high blood pressure problems, other kinds of concerns. We'll talk more about all of it when we come back with psychologist Beth here and the sports doctor. We'll be right back, everybody.
The station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we're back. The sports doctor is live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, talking with Beth Depeche. Beth, did I pronounce your last name right?
The way it should be, yes. We say our own name wrong, so Capecci's great.
Right. You know, Weil was always a hassle mentally. They're going to call me Wheel of Weil. I always worried about it. I should know better, always asking before when we're talking in that regard. Let's talk a little bit about your podcast experience. Again, I think, did you say you've done Never Perfect Doctor about 5 years?
Yes, it will be 5 years since it launched in March. So, yeah.
So what are you talking about, kiddo? Never Perfect Doctor.
Well, so my topics are really all over the place, kind of like me, because I have ADHD, and I really want to
me
be
too.
Open about... Do you? Ah, I love it. And I also have some anxiety, and I just think it's really important for us all to not be ashamed of any struggles or mental health issues that we have, and I think many of them come with a lot of strengths as well as some struggles, and I love my ADHD. It does drive me crazy, and it does.
Where does the doctor come in?
Where does the doctor come in
your title of the Never Perfect Doctor?
That's
What's
actually
the
a great question
behind that title.
Well, so the real title is Never Perfect with an ADHD Psychologist, but we shorten it. Never Perfect Dr. Beth, because it's just an easy way. And I think that my
we could
my
talk
little...
all day how they're over-medicated to death in so many different ways. In so many ways, the pressure on these kids is just really, and what they've been through, especially with the pandemic, et cetera. And the medicine's great when indicated.
Yeah.
One of the contributors to my book, Dr. Denise McDermott, a West Coast adult and child psychiatrist, talked a lot about, she's a holistic psychiatrist, and she says, hey, listen, we use medicine. However, it's so overdone. Have you found a lot of that with your experiences?
Yes. I think it really gets treated as kind of the first line of defense or offense, whatever you want to call it. And I think it should be, you know, that's why I use that life-changing habits episode as kind of a guide to saying to people, you're not going to feel your best if you're not exercising and sleeping well and having social support and sharing your story and your struggles with people
things. The whole term, the whole biohacking term, which I hadn't heard about before a year or so ago. And the idea that it had so much to do with, again, lifestyle medicine, complementary medicine that I have featured holistic medicine, Eastern and Western cultures, forever on The Sports Doctor. And it used to be called alternative medicine, which meant, hey, you or me, you know? And then all of a sudden, it was complementary, who made so much more sense, the idea that there was a much, much better way than just treating symptoms. And we've still got a lot to learn with that, with our healthcare system, don't you think?
That's right. Oh, totally. And you're never going to feel your best if you're unknowingly malnourished. I mean, so many people, walk around and they're not eating really truly nutritious food and they're not moving their bodies. You know, some
That's
of these things you
eat smarter. What is the,
yeah.
You talk about grounded. What's grounded counseling for adults and adolescents, Beth?
That is actually my counseling practice here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So it's just our little house and our office
okay.
that I share with my mother and my brother.
It's a great title. When you think about
yes,
it,
grounded.
Again, I'll sports podiatry on that. You're grounding. Work those feet, man. Whether you're jumping
yes.
for a rebound or like you when you were a kid playing tennis, changing direction. I told you,
yeah.
McEnroe and Tracy Austin wore my orthotics moons ago.
I love it. You love that word.
Yes,
that
the world
makes
of,
sense.
Of tennis. So grounded means, you know, in so many different ways. And do you find the medical community, whether it's the pediatric community or the general practitioners, have
mm-hmm.
continued to pay more attention to the role of, again, the mental game or the psychology, the mental world?
You know, some of my close friends in the medical world definitely do. I don't, you know as much about the medical practice, but I certainly do think there's more and more coming out about how the way you think and the way you feel and what you tell yourself is really important and can,
That's
you know,
why it was
you.
So important to see, for instance, in the last two Olympics, whether it was the two of the greatest athletes ever, Simone Biles,
mm-hmm.
contributed to my book, Robert Andrews, the Institute of Sports Performance in Houston. He worked with these girls in the gymnastics for years. But Simone Biles, and then there was Michael Phelps, the greatest gold medalist, talking about they had mental challenges. And to pay attention, this was a huge boost, I felt, because, again, this was almost like it's still a stigma today, getting
mm-hmm.
people right. In so many ways to pay attention to this, that it's okay to pay attention to this. This is sometimes, like we said, where a lot of medical professionals roll their eyes that, boy, oh, boy,
yeah.
we're still treading water.
Yeah, it is amazing. I don't know who said this hundreds of years ago, but as a man thinks, so is he. I mean, whoever said that, 500 or 1,000 years ago, like
right.
they were onto something.
I can't believe you brought that up. Two months ago from the Netherlands, I had a guest who was a Taoist Buddhist specialist.
Huh.
And he was talking about 2,500-year-old, the Tao, the famous,
yeah.
famous, and the points of living your life. He said the simplicity and compassion and empathy. And he talked about how, again, you know, 1,000 years old, 2,000 years old, just as important today. And it's just that the word psychology, my longtime colleague, he couldn't use the word 20 years ago, 25 years ago. So psychology scared people away, athletes away, because it was about, what do you think is wrong with me? It seems that that's changed a lot. Would you agree?
What has changed?
The fact that psychology meant the word itself was something that, you know, he was embarrassed about. Because
oh, after yeah.
he said, hey, look, you're telling me there's something wrong with me. Instead of saying, hey, this is all about a step up, man. This is about high performance.
Yes, I for sure think that mental health and psychological issues were considered, you know, stigmatized or taboo. And they used to think that anyone who went to counseling or had to, you know, go get treatment was like crazy, and that's what therapy was for. So I'm so glad that that's not true anymore.
Some of the great teams now have included, and I've had guests on who were the pet handlers and the special animals that used to go to hospitals and go around the special care dogs, for example, and now they
yeah.
were using them. They were using them in some of the different teams at Notre Dame, where everybody was, you know, so stressed out about the game. All of a sudden, in came a couple of ducks and a few donkeys, and everybody was laughing it up, having a good time. Therapy animals were something
yes.
that we don't miss a beat on the sports doc, Dr. Beth.
1 minute.
Emotional support animals are pretty amazing.
Yes. So give us again the way people could find out about you and your work in the podcast as
yeah.
far as checking that out. What's the site?
So neverperfect.org is the easiest way to find my podcast. It's on all sorts of platforms. And then my counseling office is Grounded Counseling. And it's, I always get confused on the website. It's hilarious. But if you go to Grounded Counseling Chattanooga, Tennessee, or you look up Beth Capici, you will find me, you know, at Grounded Counseling. So, yeah.
Fantastic. I want to thank you so much for joining us. Beth, you know, one of
thank
my favorites where we could trade some, trade our radio shows. And we want
it.
To thank her for that. Our friends at That One, the podcast gurus, thank you to yours also. So, Beth, hold on. We'll be right back with the Sports Doctors In, everybody. Some of our hot shot podcast world with That One, Lawrence Elyard, the International Institute of Complementary Therapists, Michael Falquist, the whole world of solar clean sink energy, the challenge of the expenses of electricity. The following week, eye specialist Dr. Bryce Applebaum, and we're going to talk. We've talked sports vision on and off on the Sports Doctor for decades, and then one of my longtime dependable boot fitters in the world of figure skating, Morris Aitken, will be joining me and talk about some of that figure skating nostalgia. Matter of fact, I talked about it with both guests today with some of the Evan Lysacek story. You know, I want to dwell again in the middle of all that football excitement, some crazy stuff, although, oh, man, the Bears, it was tough. And the idea of paying attention, we've talked about it. Which was the football players banging helmets to celebrate. They got to break those habits somehow. From Dr. Bob Wisdom, the new medicine, and again, the new medicine again and again and again, is number one, eat smarter. Pay big attention to nutrition. Number two, keep moving. Enjoy an activity that can keep your body moving. So again, number one, eat smarter. Number two, keep moving. And number three, reduce stress. The whole show today was about the mental game, which is such a big deal. And again, I wanted to mention the type 2 diabetes, juvenile type 2 diabetes. I'm paying a lot of attention to spreading the word throughout the professions. Podiatry has always been very powerful. My colleague, organizations in podiatry, with wound care, attention to foot screenings. Many times diabetes is one of the first suspicions is with the feet, numb feet, burning feet, other kinds of symptoms, where we want to be able to pay attention to the explosion of juvenile type 2 diabetes. It used to be adult onset, where it was obese adults, you know, with the nutrition side or the lack of exercise side. It wasn't kids. But the 30, 35 years where I've talked about childhood obesity on the Sports Doctor, this has become a plaguing nightmare regarding children with diabetic tendencies and a whole situation of, you know, a half-lifelong situation. It's so expensive. It's so overbearing. It's so unhealthy. So we got to pay continued attention to that. And again, if you go to my website, thesportsdoctorradio.com, you can get more information about some of the different things that we're involved with, this being a big one. Maybe a couple of emails. Terry said, are heel spurs a surgical problem? Almost never, Terry. Heel spurs are a growth on the bottom of the heel, almost always, sometimes on the back of the heel, almost like a pinpoint area because of the changes of the attachment of the plantar fascia or the Achilles tendon being pulled, being irritated, getting irritated with inflammation, and gradually the bottom situation would be where the bone develops, an arthritic condition develops. Almost always, proper support, ideally orthotics, solve that problem. Physical therapy many times, strengthening of the area, very important. Sometimes injections. Rarely is it a surgical problem. Sal says, my 14-year-old daughter has run track. She's entering high school, and she's had shin problems for the past couple of years. You know, Sal, I'm glad you brought that up. So many shin problems are foot-related, if they're persistent. Now, sometimes if we see we don't have a history and we have hard, frozen terrain, like the beginning of football season, maybe, going outside, soccer season, all that pounding on the front of the leg, we can get shin inflammation where that tibial tendon gets inflamed and irritated and hurts. It's almost always foot-related, whether it's a high arch foot on the left, or more commonly, an excessively pronated, flattening type foot. The more the foot flattens, the more the muscles on the front. Bob Guida, my late, great sports therapist.